This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the very heart of it. New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap.
Oh yeah, that's the way we like to think of ourselves here at Freedom Works. King of the hill and top of the heap. I'm not sure if it's correct, but we like to think that. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am not Frank Sinatra. I am Paul Molloy. It is Monday, May the 9th. Wow, we're moving along, are we not, in this year? In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute on why the federal government should take the good news about the April job gains and leave it the heck alone. Not interfere with any more stimulus programs. We don't need them, right? So we'll talk with Sean Higgins about that in just a few minutes. And Alabama now has a law that criminalizes gender transition surgery and puberty blockers for minors. So the question is, does that sound like a good idea for them to get involved in that? We are going to get some thoughts on it, as well as a few other things from the master barber himself, the proprietor of the barber pole, the pole that's probably more accurate than any other, the barber pole, mainstream America, Andrew Ceresi, a little bit later in the show. And everybody points at Joe Biden for his apparent cognitive decline, right? Have you listened to Nancy Pelosi recently? She was on this weekend. And they asked her a question about the abortion and a couple of other things, and she went off on some tangent. We're going to talk a little bit about whether or not she's got a similar issue in cognitive decline. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our Ultimate Top 10, if you listen to us on Friday, we gave you the top 10 most dependable vehicles in 2022. We are going to give you the least dependable vehicles in 2022 and find out if Big Ed is driving one of them. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, I say it over and over again, I've never found a place where you're going to get everything working. I mean, you're going to get the best haircut, you're going to get the best price. It's a nice looking shop. The people are friendly. You're going to like it. All you got to do is call for your appointment. It's located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, on Overcash Drive. It's just north of State Road 580 Main Street there, the stoplight at Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. So, lots going on. I guess one of the things is this morning, Vladimir Putin. I guess it's a big day there. You know, they call it Victory Day. It has to do with the victory over Germany in World War II in 1944, I believe it was. And Putin condemned the West in his Victory Day speech today, speaking at the Kremlin. He claimed that the U.S. and other countries have propped up a threat on Russia's borders, and had even supported threats of nuclear war against the country. Now, he knows he's lying. The question is, how many people that are listening to him in Russia know he is lying? The guy attacks Ukraine. He invents an excuse. The excuse was somehow Ukraine was a threat to the Russian Federation. And nobody in their right mind buys it. He says Russia has always stood up for an international system of equality. An international system of equality. He says, we have always tried to find compromise solutions. And other countries had completely different plans. They have tried to attack our historical territories like the Crimea. Remember, he took control of the Crimea during Obama's presidency, right? They just walked in and took it. They were hoping to do the same for the rest of Ukraine. So there you go. They talk about him being a little bit, well, not just mentally, but having some physical things. I haven't heard anything recently. Apparently he's healthy enough to be able to do this Victory Day speech. So I guess for those of us that were hoping maybe he was going to have to step aside, it doesn't look like it's going to happen right away. Now, some good news for people that are hoping that the abortion issue returns to the states. The 5-vote majority in the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade and this Planned Parenthood versus Casey issue remains intact right now, apparently. Months after Sam Alito, the justice who apparently his opinion is the one that has been leaked, and apparently it's the majority opinion at the time of leakage, which was earlier this year, but supposedly in a 5-4 situation, it is still holding. The leaked majority opinion penned by Alito, dated February 10th, has almost certainly changed multiple times in the 3 months since it was written, but 3 conservative sources close to the court say that the votes supporting the decision to remain unchanged. Now, that's according to the Washington Post. Who are the others besides Alito, Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett? John Roberts is trying to push them to the other side, apparently, says Chief Justice Roberts, who has at times sided with the liberal wing. He certainly has sided with the liberal wing. Remember Obamacare? He was the crucial vote. Well, apparently he still appears set to oppose the majority decision. He's still trying to persuade either Amy Coney Barrett or Kavanaugh. He thinks the other two, Gorsuch and Thomas, are not persuadable. But he thinks maybe Amy Coney Barrett and Kavanaugh are. And he wants them to take a more incremental approach, as he calls it. Now, he's a guy that doesn't want, and I don't know, there's something about a guy that doesn't, he's supposedly concerned with the legacy of the court. To hell with the legacy of the court. Do the right thing. This legacy of the court. You want a good legacy? Do the right thing. And your legacy will be just fine, thank you. But he's worried, you know, that he wants the court not to become controversial. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The greatest courts are the ones that went head on into a big issue. Plessy versus Ferguson, remember that? Well, we don't remember it, but we've read about it in history, right? That was overturned. And there have been a lot of decisions by the Supreme Court that have basically evaporated over the years. And when you make big changes like that, you will be remembered. You'll always be remembered controversially, but so what? If you did the right thing, right? Anyway, as I say, for pro-lifers and for people that believe that this issue should not remain in the hands of a few old men and old women or middle-aged people in Washington, but be returned to the people themselves via voting, right? A referendum in the states on whether or not abortion should be legal, or the election of people that go one way or the other, you have that direct opportunity. in the States, do you not? I think that's where it should go. Anyway, very interesting. We're going to take our break now, and when we come back, Sean Higgins will join us. We're going to talk to him about the good news in the April jobs report and to keep the hell of keep the government the hell out of it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Happy Monday to everybody. And delighted to have back an old friend, Sean Higgins of the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute is joining us. He is a research associate there, and he, among other things, he keeps his eyes peeled when it comes to these monthly job reports. And apparently, Sean, we've had a good one for April. The economy gained about 430,000 jobs last month, and it's similar to what happened the month prior. So should we be happy about that? Is everybody giggly and excited and confident?
Well, overall, it's good news, sure. You know, we're back to basically about where we were just before the COVID-19 crisis hit. There's some differences, obviously. But the unemployment rate is pretty close to where we were. You know, the amount of people sort of looking for work is about the same. The economy seems to be growing, and you know, we've seen some things change since then, like growth in wages and that type of stuff. But for the most part, we've just sort of after 25 months or so, 26 months, crawled back to just about where we were before we were pushed way back to the end of the line.
Right, and Joe Biden is crowing about it. He got as quickly as he could in front of a camera to talk about it. Should he and should we be excited? Seems like there's this malaise going on. We've got the high prices, you know, for food and for gas, and we got a lot of empty shelves. I don't know that people are that excited right now. Maybe are they looking at that? And also, is there any connection between the good job numbers and maybe what's going on in the stock market?
Well, certainly we're seeing the return of inflation, which was something that wasn't an issue prior to COVID. And there's a general consensus that all the sort of spending that was injected into the economy during the COVID crisis has contributed to that. You know, people spent a lot more money, but weren't working as much. There's a lot of chasing around of goods, and the supply chain was constrained as well. We've also seen wages go up. So we're seeing what the economists call a wage price spiral. That's where wages rise and then prices rise in tandem, and they start feeding off each other. We're still in the sort of early stages of it, but it's not a good sign in the long run because it just sort of means these things will start chasing each other, and we'll start seeing inflation, you know, continuing to go. As far as what Biden has done or not done for the economy, the best thing that happened was that he basically abandoned the vaccination mandate he was going to try and put on the country. If we had what they initially proposed, the jobs numbers would be nearly as good as they were because a lot of employers would have had to either fire people or lay them off or try and circumvent the rule in some sort of way. So maybe the numbers, maybe we wouldn't have lost quite as many people, but the numbers would be suspect.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that you have said, based on this report, that the numbers are further proof that the government stimulus programs are not needed to jumpstart this economy. I think that makes perfect sense. And yet, you just know that Biden and his and the Democrats are looking for a way to inject, quite frankly, a great amount of spending again if they can figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, they're looking towards the November numbers in the election, and they're worried about what's going to happen, and they're trying to just sort of bump the economy up. This is something that happens in a lot of these election cycles. The party in power will try and find some sort of way to goose the economy temporarily. You know, just basically just pumping new spending out there is one way to do that. It's the economic equivalent of a sugar high. It doesn't last very long, and it's not necessarily something good in the long run, but if they time it right, it might help them, but I'm skeptical of that. So
yeah, I mean, for the trillions of dollars that has been spent and the checks, the stimulus checks and everything else that went out, do you honestly think that that did not contribute to inflation?
No, I definitely believe it did. You know, there's a couple of other factors involved, but that was clearly one of them. I mean, you had a lot of people who just suddenly had a lot of money and time to spend things, and they purchased, you know, you hear people, you know, sort of purchasing all sorts of things that they didn't do, or people just buying stuff simply because they're bored and, you know, having it, you know, brought home. And this is, you know, that has an effect.
Yeah. So people are worried sick, and I think the Democrats are equally worried sick, about the state of this nation. I'm looking at the stock market. It's down almost 500 points again right now as we talk. Obviously, the high inflation numbers that seem to be jumping out. I mean, every time you go by a gas station, you want to hide your eyes. I know around here it's almost $4.15 a gallon now. I mean, that would have been unthinkable a year ago. So, I mean, the Democrats know that they're in deep trouble. They have a chance of losing both the House, and now they're talking openly about losing the Senate as well. So things are not going well in this country. I've never seen polls that show such a concern about the direction of the country. You know,
inflation is particularly bad for the party in power because it's something that people can readily see how it affects them. As you say, you know, you drive down the street and you just see what the gas prices are, what the gas is selling for right now. And this is something that affects literally everybody. It's not, you know, a particular sector of the economy. Everybody's paying more. So it's just not good news for whoever's running the country at the moment.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, I'm trying to think if I was Biden what I would do right now. I mean, we want to leave alone the economy. If he leaves it alone, I think they are worried, the Democrats, that it looks like he's not able to do anything. But by leaving it alone and allowing it to get better on its own, allowing it to grow, allowing the free market to do its magic, you know? I always, just an aside on this, I always thought, when I read history, that Herbert Hoover, who was a hands-off, conservative kind of Republican president,
right,
was right that we should never have tried to interfere when the stock market collapsed in 1929 like Roosevelt did. I think they might have extended the Depression with the spending that the federal government did. And I'm thinking that it's the same scenario now because the law of economics doesn't change, right?
Yeah, I mean, for all the talk and all the effort, and as romantically as some people look back at the, you know, FDR's New Deal, the country remained in a depression for the better part of the decade and didn't really get out of it until World War II happened and we switched to a war economy.
All those programs that were supposed to help everybody, they sounded good, but it was kind of the first time that the government started tinkering with the free market to the extent that it did, right? I mean, under Roosevelt, we started getting all of these social programs, and we started taking away people's freedom, actually. And like you said, until World War II, I don't think any of that slowed down the Depression.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't ultimately. Certainly, it took it took many, many, many years for this type of stuff to sort of have any impact. And by the time the economy was pulling itself out, there's a lot of other reasons to suggest that that was what was happening. It wasn't necessarily a direct consequence of any of the New Deal programs. I mean, over time, I mean, the economy just sort of sorts itself through. You know, new businesses come along. People retire, new workers enter the workforce, things just simply literally change, and the economy grows as a consequence of that. And I think that's part of what was happening at the end of the 1930s, early 40s. And then, of course, we went into this very industrial war phase, which changed things a lot and put a lot of people into the workforce that hadn't been there before and got a lot of people, you know, employed, you know, doing something constructive or destructive, as was the case in the war.
Yeah.
But you know, the New Deal programs themselves, you'll probably find some economists who say the Depression would have been worse without them. I'm skeptical of that. Certainly, they didn't pull us out of the Depression.
Exactly. We're talking with Sean Higgins. He is a research associate at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're discussing the April job numbers, which were good. They were good, 428,000 jobs. I think the unemployment rate held fairly steady, Sean, at 3.6%. Now, is there anything the government can do, honestly? I mean, we talk about getting some of these regulations out of the way of businesses. I don't know that the Democrats are big on that, like Trump was. Is there anything that the federal government can do to make things better?
There are probably some things it can do to sort of prevent another replay of the supply chain crisis. There's a lot of regulations involving interstate transportation, how long truckers can drive, you know, the qualifications to getting it, that could probably stand to be eased and relaxed. We can make it easier for some gig economy companies to work. A lot of people got a lot of work and made a lot of money on the side through that type of stuff, but those things are being threatened right now. We can do some stuff to rebuild some infrastructure. Probably the electronic grid could stand an overhaul as well. Those are the type of things that the government could do that would be helpful. But in terms of just sort of trying to regulate and control the economy, they need to step away from that. It just doesn't have the impact or the positive impact that they think it does.
Do we still have all those ships lined up outside of the ports in California and Savannah, Georgia?
I haven't checked in the last month or so, but last I had read that there was still a backup, but it had been alleviated somewhat. I mean, these things do eventually sort themselves out over time. The other thing is a lot of companies sort of found other ways to source materials. Some of the bigger retailers started chartering their own ships or using smaller ports. So people just sort of find ways around these things when mm-hmm. the problems happen.
And finally, do you think there's any chance that Democrats will get religion about opening pipelines and allowing businesses to get some of the oil that we've got on public lands? I mean, you know, really be able to do it without infringing and over-regulating. Do you think you think no matter what, they'll go down with their ship on that one?
I doubt that they'll change their opinion or stance on it too much, absent of getting a serious shellacking in an election where they can draw a direct connection between their position and that. I mean, that's what ultimately happens to political parties, is they need to sort of have that type of reality check before they change their policies. It happened with the Democrats in terms of gun control and hard on crime stuff in the 90s. Bill Clinton came along, and whatever else you may think about him, he took some tough on crime stances that sort of alleviated the Democrats' image problem in that area and fixed that. Prior to that, they were just getting hammered, and they stopped getting hammered afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that type of reality check. And it may happen in the future, but if it does, it's not going to happen in the next day or two.
Well, it sounds like and it looks like the Democrats are going to get slapped upside the head here in November. And I'm not sure they're going to change even if that happens, but I think you're kind of optimistic. I think then no matter what, they're just going to hope that something bad happens to Republicans and they can get back in again. That's the only thing. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. When political parties get hit particularly hard on an issue and they can see the connection between that, they usually do reassess things. not everyone obviously changes their mind, but enough of them will that the center of gravity shifts.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see about that. But Sean, it's always a pleasure to have you on. We always learn something from you and enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and good morning, Tampa.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Sean Higgins. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Alabama. You know that little state right next to us said Alabama. They now have a law criminalizing gender transition surgery and puberty blockers for minors. Now, the question is that a good idea with that law? We're going to get some ideas and thoughts on it from the master barber himself after the break, Andrew Cerese.
Man, I wanted to bump. I was praying to go. And this big fat woman.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tantalk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tantalk Radio Network. SVA, improving your day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. So, we got an Alabama law. It now is a felony to provide puberty blockers or perform gender transition surgery on minors. Took effect today, as a matter of fact.
That's even with parental consent?
It says that it is a felony to provide them or perform the surgery, and it doesn't say anything about if you get parental consent, it's okay. Correct. In other words, you can't do it.
You flat out can't do it, period.
To minors. Yes, to minors. It says here, the Republican governor, Kay Ivey, signed the law early April, so it's effect, but it took effect today. It makes it punishable by up to 10 years in jail to provide the blockers, the hormone treatments, the transition surgery to anybody under 19. That's interesting.
Wow.
You'd think maybe 18, anything under 18, but they got it under 19. Now, several transgender groups are challenging this. They want to block it. But you know what? Alabama's not the first state to attempt this. Arkansas did something similar. They banned doctors from prescribing the drugs. But then the court said it was overly broad. And Asa Hutchinson, who sometimes isn't real conservative, he came down a little bit on Florida for what they were doing with Disney and all that. Asa Hutchinson vetoed it. So anyway,
A 16-year-old kid probably knows which way they're going to go at 16.
So you think that they should lower the age?
I don't know how traumatic it is for a 16-year-old to not be able to get the surgery. You know you want to go that way, and gee, my life would be complete if I could get it. Well, you're only 16.
I think 16's kind of young. I don't know. I think 18 would work because, you can vote, you have to serve in the... What?
You can do a lot of things when you're 18.
Yeah. You're also 2 years smarter.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I was just going to say something real quickly.
Yeah.
It's a monumental day around here in the Bay Area, a very tragic day. 42 years ago, today is the day that the ship hit the span.
Oh, well, yes.
And the Skyway went down.
That's
it was 42
right.
years ago.
How many people died?
30-something?
Terrible.
Something like that.
Terrible. Thank you for reminding me. I would have mentioned that had I realized it.
Last year, I played the call from some adventure to the 911 was really chilling.
You know? I can imagine.
Yeah.
Horrible day. So, horrible, horrible day. We've got our two buddies, both Angelo and Andrew Sorese. Angelo up in Rochester and Andrew here. Guys, I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, we are really going after kids these days, are we not, with CRT and talking about all kinds of sexual identity things in kindergarten and grade school. And you got this transition surgery thing. Andrew, you first. What do you think about this Alabama law? You got to be at least 19.
Well, you know, Paul, you can't buy cigarettes till you're 21. You can't buy alcohol till you're 21. Why should you be able to change your sex until then?
I think that's as good an argument as I've ever heard. Go ahead.
Okay. It's ridiculous. Look at this 16-year-old kid. They can't make up their mind what they're doing. That's when they start going goofy.
Yeah, you're right.
15, 60 years old, these kids start going goofy. They don't know what they are. Okay? They can't even control their acne, let alone the sex change operation.
Yeah.
I don't think so, Paul. I think the law is straight, and they should ban it throughout the country.
And it may go that way, especially if the Roe versus Wade goes back to the states as well. Angela, what are your thoughts on this Alabama criminalizing law situation?
I agree with my brother. You can't even buy cigarettes till you're 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all this stuff, you can't purchase a firearm, like you said, till you're 21. That's all federal law. You know, they're pushing all that stuff. So I feel Andy's the same way. You know, I mean, at one time they wanted 16-year-olds to vote. There was Nancy Pelosi. She brought that up at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
But, you know, and this brings up a good point. If a particular state would allow its citizens to vote at the age of 16, who's to say that they don't have that right? Because the people in that state obviously would support something like that, or those politicians in that state would be gone. And it's just like that for abortion. And I think maybe, in transition surgery and the like. So why not? Why can't these states have that right?
You know, the thing is that you can get killed for your country at 18 years old, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. You're right.
If you can get killed for your country, you can put the uniform on of this country and fight for this country at 18, like I had to go, right? Then I think 18 should be the age of majority for the whole thing.
Right. So, Andrew, let's say you're an 18, or in this case, a 19-year-old guy. Do you think... I know you wouldn't do it, but do you think that a guy or a lady should have the right to change their sex at that point if they wanted to? Or do you think that they should get counseling because they shouldn't do it for psychological and medical reasons? In other words, would you allow it, or would you consider it like a mental?
Here's a simple one, Paul. If they can afford to pay for it, with their own cash, they could do whatever they want.
Okay.
But if the government's got to pay for it with my tax money, forget about it.
Yeah. Okay, so you're allowing them the right to do whatever they would like.
At 18, let them go. If they want to do something stupid at 18 years old, we've all done something stupid, but certain things we did stupid were able to be reversed. If they want to do this stupid operation, let them know that it can't be reversed. This is what you got.
Yeah. I'm always thinking back on Bruce Jenner, who transitioned, and he's, by the way, very conservative. If you've ever heard him talk, he's very conservative. As an example, he's very much against men that have transitioned, you know, on swim teams with women, et cetera, or on track teams, because they have a natural advantage, and yet he transitioned, and he certainly knows something about sports. He seems to be very happy with what he did. So I do think that, you know, if psychologically it makes you feel better, I don't see the problem here.
That's it. Paul,
yeah.
Listen, everything that's going on in this country today, it's like I said, what do you got, 3% of the population, and the country is going nuts to appease them.
Yeah.
Let them do what they want to do. As long as I don't have to pay for it, that's their business.
That's fair enough. I got to go to another topic. And you guys, I know both of you respect and enjoy Nancy Pelosi, but She was on some show, and she gave a rather, I guess, bizarre and borderline incoherent response. You know, she went on Face the Nation, and they asked her why Barack Obama, when he was president, did not codify Roe versus Wade, because she's going around talking about how the, you know, how the Congress has to vote Roe versus Wade in as law. And apparently she started talking in a way that reminded one of Joe Biden, which meant that everybody had to kind of dive under their desks because they couldn't understand what she was talking about. So my question to you two is, do you think she's got the same Bidenitis that Joe does?
Of course. She's 81 years old.
So she's starting to slide.
What do you mean starting? She's a refried bean already.
Okay. Do you feel the same way, Angela?
Oh, yeah. It's time for her to leave.
Well, I know you want her to leave. Let's forget about whether or not she's, you know, politically.
I think she's sliding.
Okay.
I mean, come on, the cheese slid off her cracker a long time ago. The only thing that's holding her together is the vodka.
She's adding too much spiked ice cream.
Oh, you guys kill me.
Too much Irish cream.
I want you to hear her response. So let's see which of us, you get a gold star if you can figure out what she was trying to say. So the host of the show that we're talking about, Face the Nation, Margaret Brennan, asked Pelosi if she thought it was a mistake for Obama not to push harder on codifying Roe versus Wade when they had the majority rule. And here's her answer. If I just may, the focus we have right now is an urgent one in order to try to improve this. We're calling a fake or draft decision, whatever it is. I think that this is a waste of time. Then she said, the fact is that we really did not have a pro-choice Democratic Party. I had to fight against some of the people who did not want to pass the Affordable Care Act because they were concerned that it might enable more freedom of choice. Okay, which one of you wants to raise his or her hand and tell me what she just said? Because I spent a day and a half on it, and I still can't figure it out. I mean, this is what we got from her now.
Tomorrow. Something will come up tomorrow, is what she just said. That's how I took it.
She, you know, I think she knows deep down, maybe, I don't know, I'm just guessing now, that she knows that the majority of the people in this country, I don't care what anybody says, the majority of the people in this country do not want to pass a law to make abortion legal.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why. Number one, you know, the Supreme Court thinking about handing it down to the states. If each state would put it on a ballot and vote in November, who wants to make abortion legal? You would see, and you put it into the hands of the people, not the state legislatures, because the legislature.
Yeah, you want a direct vote.
You want a direct vote. And when you ask these people, are you willing to kill a baby, no matter what stage it's in, right? Will you vote to put this? Would you vote to make this a law of the land? And I would bet that the majority of the people in this country do not want to make abortion a law of the land. There's a certain bunch of people saying that. The majority of the people want to see it. Majority of people, no. You know, you put it up for a vote all across this country in every state. You won't get the vote, and you won't make abortion legal. It's just a certain people that want to make it legal. That's why back in the 70s, when they were pushing Roe v. Wade, you know, a lot of the people were fed up with the riots and the protests of the Vietnam War, and people were just tired. You know, one protest after another was happening, and, you know, they just got tired, and they said, okay, we're gonna pass Roe v. Wade instead of having the states do it. I mean, that's my...
Yeah, in other words, they thought that the demonstrations would continue as long as there were different opposition and points of view on it. They wanted to get it over with.
During the Democratic Convention back in the 70s.
Okay.
The protests with the Vietnam War. You know what I'm saying? People were getting burned out with all these protests.
Well, here's the thing, and if I might direct it to Andrew and get his thought. It depends on how you word the question. And if a state says, do you support the killing of unborn children? I think you're going to get 95% of the people that would say, no, I do not. But if you said, do you support a woman's right to terminate a pregnancy up until the, let's say, eighth week or something like that, then you might get a goodly number of people in the state to say, yeah, I think it should be allowed, you know. So, but the point is that each state would be able to kind of work it out themselves. Don't you agree, Andrew?
You know, Paul, I agree that the states should work it out themselves. But you know what I find amazing?
Yeah, what?
I find it very amazing that NASA and the whole world went crazy when they found mold on Mars. And they said, look, we have life on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're considering mold on Mars life, how can they not consider an unborn child no life?
You got it. Okay. I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, it is a life. It's the third party. That's the thing about this Roe versus Wade. They treat it like it's not a third party. It is a third party. It's got a right to life. It's got a right. It's got a say. It's got a say in the discussion. But they.
Paul.
Go ahead.
You know, again, I say one thing. Birth control would get rid of the abortion problem, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So why are these people so stupid and not using it?
All right.
Because they want to have their fun and they want to have their cake and eat it too, you know?
Well, having fun, you can have all the fun you want with the pill.
Just take the pill, right.
That's all you got to do.
In other words, if you're more responsible with your body, you won't have this issue to begin with.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Or if they had the fear of a shotgun wedding like we did when we were kids.
Hey, by the way, Andrew, how many shotgun weddings were you forced to be a part of?
Six.
Yeah, I thought so.
No,
I know.
Thank God. Thank God.
No, I know.
Paul, the simple answer to the abortion problem is birth control. Very simple. You wouldn't even be having this as an issue. The only reason it's an issue is because of the November elections, and the Democrats have got nothing to talk about, and they're making this their one issue.
Yeah.
That's all they've got. They don't even really have an issue because, in reality, it just belongs to the state.
You think that it's going to supersede our concern for gas prices, food prices,
no.
Inflation?
No, not at all.
The border, the southern border.
Killing up here.
I don't think it's going to change. I think people have. They
Paul, it's down 11th on the list, Paul.
That's about right.
Priorities. So, no, I don't think it's going to affect nothing. I think you're going to see a landslide in November. People are tired. I mean, I don't hear people complaining anymore, just once in a while. The American people are complacent, my friend. They slap it to them. They get upset for a week or two. Then, okay, we can live with this.
Yeah.
And that's the American
people. They get used
people.
To it.
They get used to anything. They can jump in freezing water, and if they're in it long enough, they're going to get used
to
it.
You're right. Guys, it's always a pleasure to have both of you on Monday. Thank you so very much. And, of course, Andrew, look forward to talking with you again on Wednesday. Thanks so much.
Great, Paul.
Okay. Thanks, Angelo. All righty. There they go, the Ceresi brothers. All right. Let us take our final break. When we come back, Biden wants to cancel student loan debt. All of a sudden, even Democrats are saying, what are you thinking?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for our final segment on a Monday of Freedom Works. And we're delighted you're with us. And by the way, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to this show even when you can't listen to it live, because he puts all the shows on tape, on podcast. And although we do the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, if you go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, ourfreedomworks.com, you can for sure listen to us at your leisure, thanks to Ed. So go to our website, O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com, look at the podcast button, and away you go. All right, so Biden apparently wants to cancel student loan debt. He's still thinking about it, still wants to do it. Of course, somebody else has to pay for it then, right? Both Republicans and Democratic lawmakers sounded the alarm on Biden's potential plan to cancel student loan debt and suggested alternatives. He said in a press conference late last month he's considering some student loan debt, some. Said, I'm not considering 50,000 cancellation, but I'm in the process of taking a hard look at whether or not there will be additional debt forgiveness. So here's the Maryland Governor Larry Hogan. I think it's a crazy idea. He's wasting too much money. Here is a Democrat from Illinois, Sherry Bustos. Lawmakers need to look at whether the country can afford to cancel. She said, I don't think it can be just be a blanket. We're going to wipe out all the student loans. I think that that's all kinds of different kinds of levels. And we've really got to dig deep on. So, I mean, you would think that they realize that you're not going to get any votes. Because people that have mortgages and car loans and all kinds of other bills, their visa bills, you're going to cancel those too?
And not to mention the people that have already paid theirs.
That's
and
right.
Are they going to get theirs back?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's AOC's big thing, isn't it? She's the one that's pushing that.
Oh, yeah.
She wants all their debts.
Oh, yeah. And there's another one that's come along, a new socialist. They're calling her AOC 2.0. Mm-hmm. And she wants to redistribute wealth. She comes right out and says it. You know, but she wants to cancel all that, and she wants to cancel the police department. I mean, she's a real crazy. And yet, these people are getting elected.
That's the...
Scary.
That's the problem.
I know. Hey, before we go to our top 10, I want to ask you, did you watch our beloved Lightning? They took it to the Toronto Maple Leafs last night in hockey.
They came out like a fat kid tired of losing his lunch money. It came out swinging.
They did.
Before you sat down and took a sip of your drink, it was 3-0.
It was. Did you know that they had more goals for a while than Toronto had shots on goal?
Mm-hmm.
They really did. They had 3 goals.
Yeah.
3 goals. And Toronto, I remember this, had 1 shot on goal. That's unbelievable. That's how good they were.
Well, now they're going to go back up there Tuesday night. They got to win up there. I mean, they just got to. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it goes 7. Although they have to come back here. That's a must win.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's the best of 3.
Well, both teams have shown they can win on the other person's ice.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But I like the way they came out. It shows that when they want to and when they focus, wow, they're amazing.
And the Rays did very well on the weekend.
Oh, they did?
Took 3 out of 4 from Seattle.
Okay.
They lost by a run last night, but...
What place are they in?
I wonder if they do listen to the show, because there was... Early in the year, I told you there were problems and guys needed to go away. Well, they sent those guys down finally, and look what's happened.
Okay.
You know, there's 2 or 3 of them that have been sent down that weren't pulling their weight, and now they're starting to gel, and the same guys are playing.
I think you should be the general manager of the Rays, because you know what to do.
Yeah.
No, that's good news to hear, though. It really is.
Yeah.
All right. You remember that we gave you the updated top 10 most dependable vehicles, according to J.D. Powers, on Friday. And unfortunately, your Ford was not in there yet. But we might have a chance.
Uh-oh.
I hope not. But we might have a chance to see that your Ford truck might be one of the least dependable. Let's find out, okay?
Mm.
All right. This is, again, J.D. Powers' least dependable vehicles for 2022. Number 10. The Infiniti.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't.
That's a high-priced car.
It is.
It is. It's got 228 problems per 100 vehicles, according to J.D. Powers. Number nine, Honda. That was another one that surprised me.
Honda's slipped a bit, yeah, I think.
I agree. Because Honda used to be like, wow, these Japanese cars are well put together,
well put
and they
together,
would point to Honda.
Great gas mileage. Yeah. And, yeah.
Exactly. Number eight, Audi. And that was another one. I always thought Audi.
Audi.
Huh?
Audi.
Oh, excuse me. Excuse me. Audi. Uh-huh. Like you hurt your toe and you go, Audi!
Yeah, it is.
Or maybe you're in Texas and you go, Audi!
Yeah.
Okay. Number seven. Well, you tell me how to pronounce this one. Mm. Okay, J-A-G-U-A-R.
Jaguar.
It's Jaguar.
Jaguar.
If you listen to the snooty British woman that
the
does
British
the commercial.
The British say Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Yeah. They're 12-cylinder hogs.
Well, however you say it, they're not that dependable. They got 233 problems per 100.
A friend of mine had one. He was constantly fixing the damn
thing.
Really? Yeah, constantly.
Yeah. Boy, that has to be costly and frustrating.
And to get parts for it? Oh, yeah, and not to mention the price of the parts.
Oh, God, you're right. You're right.
He'd take it to shops and they wouldn't touch it.
It ain't worth it. Mm. Number six, Chrysler. Chrysler.
Hmm.
I guess this is mainly the trucks, right? Mm-hmm. 240 problems per 100 vehicles. Number five. And here's another one I would have thought would be dependable, but it's not. Acura. 244 problems per 100 vehicles. Acura. Wow. That's kind of an offshoot of Honda, by the way.
Mm.
Number four. Alfa Romeo. The Italian car, I believe. 245 problems per 100 vehicles.
I thought they were mostly race cars, Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Maybe that's what they are. And you know they're going to have issues with the way they drive those things.
Maybe.
Okay. Number three. And this is another one. I always thought a very safe car, maybe not so safe anymore, Volvo.
Oh, yeah.
You
the Volvos, and they last a long time,
they
too.
Last a long time.
I don't know people that put, like, 600,000-700,000 miles on those things.
Yeah, and when you thought of Volvo, you thought of people with families.
Yeah,
you know,
because they made that station wagon.
Yeah,
that was a staple for them. Yeah.
Right, 256 problems for 100 vehicles. Number two, Ram. That's the Dodge truck.
The Dodge Ram.
Dodge Ram.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, Ford's got the market with the F-150 okay. And anything under the...
All right, speaking of Ford, we're now at number one. Do you want to take a guess as to what is the least dependable vehicle? I'll tell you now, it's a truck.
It's a truck?
Yeah.
Chevy, I guess, right?
Chevy was actually the 10th most dependable.
Oh.
It's Land Rover.
Oh.
Land Rover, 284 problems per 100 vehicles.
Land Rover.
I'm not even sure who makes it.
I want to say Jeep.
Yeah, it could be Jeep.
Jeep.
That could be right.
Land Rover.
We'll have to look that one up.
I remember that. I mean, 10, 12, 15 years ago, they had a nice SUV.
Mm-hmm.
But I
in the good old days.
Probably went downhill after that.
Anyway, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
You got me looking at that heaven in your eyes. I was chasing your direction. I was telling you no lies. And I was loving you when the words are said. Baby, I lose my head.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home.